Welcome to day 350 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host at Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are going to begin and complete the reading of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is one of those prison epistles written by the Apostle Paul while he was a prisoner in Rome. In this particular epistle, he addresses the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm not referring to any specific denomination, but instead the invisible Church of God, which is led by Christ himself as the head. And he addresses many, many subjects in this amazing epistle, including the functionality of the Church and of the various ministries, and the fact that the entire Church of God is called to do the work of the ministry. And then when we get to the last chapter, chapter 6, we will hear the amazing treatise that the apostle writes about the reality of the spiritual warfare that goes on and how we must be ready to be soldiers in that war. And he gives us exact and very specific instructions on how to get the victory over the enemy of our souls. So beginning today, we're reading from the Amplified Bible this week and starting at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus the Messiah, by the divine will, the purpose, and the choice of God, to the saints, the consecrated, set-apart ones at Ephesus, who are also faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. May grace, God's unmerited favor, and spiritual peace, which means peace with God, and harmony, unity, and undisturbedness, be yours from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm. Even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own, in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. For he foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent, so that we might be to the praise and the commendation of his glorious grace, favor, and mercy, which he so freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, practical insight and prudence, making known to us the mystery, secret of his will, of his plan, of his purpose. And it is this, in accordance with his good pleasure, his merciful intention, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him, he planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ, both things in heaven and things on the earth. In him we also were made God's heritage, portion, and we obtained an inheritance, for we had been foreordained, chosen and appointed beforehand, in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. So that we who first hoped in Christ, who first put our confidence in him, have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, gospel of your salvation, and have believed in and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. That Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge and foretaste, the down payment on our heritage, in anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of His glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you, and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints, His set-apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And He has put all things under His feet and has appointed Him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of Him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with Himself. Chapter 2. And you He made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedient, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then, by nature, children of God's wrath and heirs of His indignation, like the rest of mankind. But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him. For it is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, in His kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles, heathens in the flesh, called uncircumcision by those who call themselves circumcision, in self a mere mark in the flesh made by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in Him, utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, and strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise, with no knowledge or right in God's agreements, His covenants. And you had no hope, no promise. You were in the world without God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away, through, by, in the blood of Christ, have been brought near. For He is Himself our peace, our bond of unity and harmony. He has made us both Jew and Gentile one body, and has broken down, destroyed, abolished the hostile dividing wall between us, by abolishing in His own crucified flesh the enmity caused by the law with its decrees and ordinances, which He annulled, that He from the two might create in Himself one new man, one new quality of humanity out of the two, so making peace. And He designed to reconcile to God both Jew and Gentile united in a single body by means of His cross, thereby killing the mutual enmity and bringing the feud to an end. And He came and preach the glad tidings of peace to you who were afar off, and peace to those who were near. For it is through Him that we both, whether far off or near, now have an introduction, access, by one Holy Spirit to the Father, so that we are able to approach Him. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens, excluded from the rights of citizens, but you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for Himself, and you belong to God's own household. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself, the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, grow, increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In Him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves also are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, dwelling place of God in, by, through the Spirit. Chapter 3. For this reason, because I preach that you are thus built up together, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, His unmerited favor, that was entrusted to me to dispense to you for your benefit, and that the mystery secret was made known to me, and I was allowed to comprehend it by direct revelation, as I already briefly wrote you. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, This mystery was never disclosed to human beings in past generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles, consecrated messengers, and prophets by the Holy Spirit. It is this, that the Gentiles are now to be fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body and joint partakers, sharing in the same divine promise in Christ through their acceptance of the glad tidings, the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's free grace, undeserved favor, which was bestowed on me by the exercise, the working in all its effectiveness, of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. Also, to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men, of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now in the mind of God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which He has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness, courage, and confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear at what I am suffering in your behalf. Rather, glory in it, for it is an honor to you. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan, by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, the Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now to Him who, by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, Lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as there is also one hope that belongs to the calling you received. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, pervading all and living in us all. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He led a train of vanquished foes, and he bestowed gifts on men. But he ascended? Now, what can this, he ascended, mean? But that he had previously descended from the heights of heaven into the depths, the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the very same as he who also has ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fit all things, the whole universe from the lowest to the highest. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, and the completeness found in him. So then, we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of Him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. So this I say, and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles do, in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. Their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God, with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them, due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. But you did not so learn in Christ. Assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members one of another. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you are sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language be banished from you, with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father, and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. But immorality, sexual vice, and all impurity of lustful, rich, wasteful living, or greediness must not even be named among you, as is fitting and proper among saints, God's consecrated people. Let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency, nor foolish and sinful, silly and corrupt talk, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting or becoming, but instead voice your thankfulness to God. For be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life or one who is covetous, who has lustful desire for the property of others and is greedy for gain. For he, in effect, is an idolater, hasn't any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses and groundless arguments for these sins. For through these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience. So do not associate or be sharers with them. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light or the Spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. For it is a shame even to speak of or mention the things that such people practice in secret. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light." Look carefully, then, how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. Even so, husbands should love their wives as being in a sense their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members, parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self, and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. Servants, slaves, be obedient to those who are your physical masters, having respect for them and eager concern to please them, in singleness of motive and with all your heart, as service to Christ himself, not in the way of eye service, as if they were watching you and only to please men, but as servants, slaves of Christ, doing the will of God heartily and with your whole soul, rendering service readily with good will, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that for whatever good anyone does, he will receive his reward from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. You masters, act on the same principle toward them, and give up threatening and using violent and abusive words, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no respect of persons, no partiality with him. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand, therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And pray also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news, the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in a coupling chain in prison. Pray that I may declare it boldly and courageously, as I ought to do. Now that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord and his service, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may console and cheer and encourage and strengthen your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love joined with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Grace, God's undeserved favor, be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with undying and incorruptible love. Amen. So let it be. This is the end of today's scripture reading and the end of the book of Ephesians. In today's devotional, I want to focus for just a few moments, due to the length of our reading today, on the amazing statements that the Apostle Paul makes here in the sixth chapter of Ephesians on the issue of spiritual warfare and how, as believers, we have to, first of all, acknowledge that we are in a war, spiritual war. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6:12. And I like how the Amplified Translation puts it. It says, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural realm or sphere. Now, I bring this to your attention because every single person listening to this podcast and every person who walks in the world today is engaged in spiritual warfare, whether they realize it or not. There are people who don't know anything about spiritual warfare, who don't believe that demons exist or the devil exists, who are walking through the earth, and yet they are in the midst of a battlefield being pummeled by the devil, and they don't even know it. They just think bad things happen to good people, or they have some philosophical way of looking at life that's just bad things happen, that's the way it is, and they don't have any recognition, understanding, or revelation that there really is a spiritual warfare, there really is a devil who would like to destroy people. Jesus plainly stated it in his statement in John 10:10 when he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's talking about Satan, and then he talked about himself. But I came to give life and give it abundantly. So Christ offers us life. The devil offers us death, destruction, robbery, continuous problems. That is what the enemy of our soul, whose name is Satan, comes to do. The problem that we have in a very complex society that we live in is that oftentimes highly educated people have come to the conclusion that there is no personal devil, there is no embodiment of evil, so to speak. Evil's just a general philosophical term that is manifested when people commit crimes of different sorts. But that is not the reality that we live in. Whether we recognize it or not, there are spiritual principalities that war against unbelievers and believers alike. The unbelievers, they try to keep them in darkness, keep them in bondage, and eventually just kill them so that they never turn to Christ and end up in hell. Against believers, the continuous battle is to try to drag them down, put them in bondage, and hold them until they despair of God and his help and his love. And it is not God's will that a believer be anything but victorious, as we read in the book of Romans, where the Lord declares that we are more than conquerors, and that is his intent for every believer. But let's just take a quick look at these things, and I'll end with an amazing quote from C.S. Lewis in his book called The Screwtape Letters. It says here in Ephesians 12 that we are to put on God's complete armor so that we may be able to resist and stand our ground on the evil day. having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. And then it goes on to give us very specifics. Stand therefore, hold your ground, tighten the belt of truth around your loins, put on the breastplate of righteousness, or the Amplified says integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God. Shod your feet in preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the shield of faith, which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. The shield of faith is able, which means your trust in God and His promises is able to quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. That is a picture of covering your head, your thought life, your mind, and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. That's why it's important to take the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, so you've got a Spirit sword to utilize in the battle. And then it goes on to say, pray at all times. And that is a vital weapon for us as believers as well. But I want to simply make this statement to you. It's vital that we recognize there is a battle, there is a devil, but we are the victors. It's important that we recognize that evil is not just some philosophy or some thought. It is indeed personified in a person, which is Satan, the fallen angel whose name originally was Lucifer. And it's vital that we recognize that and that we take the authority we've been given in Christ Jesus by the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when we're tempted or pressured by the enemy, you use that Word of God to take it out and speak it with boldness against the enemy who's trying to speak lies to you. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, will always overcome any demonic suggestion of the devil that's trying to come against you. I want to just say to you that it's vital that we recognize there is a war. It's vital that we recognize who the enemy is. And it's also vital that we recognize that God has given us tools and armor and weaponry to use, and we can walk victoriously every single day of our lives. But take that chapter in Ephesians chapter 6, go through it, memorize it every morning, speak it out, put it on, teach your children how to do that, and that will be a powerful protection for their lives and for yours as well. I'll end with a quote from The Screwtape Letters, and if you've never read that book, it's a book that was written by a man named C.S. Lewis. He was a very incredibly intelligent man. He was a philosopher and a professor who taught at both Oxford and Cambridge in England. He was very highly respected in his day, and he came to his faith in Christ later in life, and then he began to pursue with all his heart, looking at the scriptures, studying, and becoming a true believer in Christ Jesus. As a result, he wrote this book called The Screwtape Letters, and it's a book that is written from the perspective of a demon named Screwtape, who's teaching younger demons how to effectively harass people and get them into bondage. So it's very enlightening. It would be worth your read if you would like to pursue that, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. But he really stood against the liberals of his day who did not believe in a personal devil. They had a philosophical thing about good and evil. They had no recognition or belief in a personal devil. So he had this to say in his book called The Screwtape Letters. He said, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the demons. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an unhealthy interest in them. They themselves, the demons, are equally pleased by both errors, and they hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. In other words, The demons love the people who pursue the dark side, who love Harry Potter and all the magic and wickedness that goes with that whole realm. But they also love the people who say there's no such thing as a devil and demons, it's all just fairy tales. They love them both equally because the people believing either one of those two errors does not ever prepare himself to do battle against those demonic spirits that would like to take hold of a person's life. So it's important for us to take this very seriously, to take Ephesians chapter 6, to believe God's word, and to put on the whole armor of God so that we can have our victory and our authority over the enemy of our soul. God bless you and give you a victorious week.